the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around. I wanna feel its way, wanna feel its way, and put some feel good in my soul. Drink a little drink, smoke a little smoke, want a little more right.
Welcome into the Saturday show, hour two underway. Michelle Bodkin, Jay Catch along for the ride. And please now to welcome in BJ Daniels. We've had him on the show before.
We have.
But when, you know, relevant USF news pops up, who do we go to? Our USF correspondent, BJ Daniels. BJ, thank you for carving out some time on this Saturday for us. How are you, sir?
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm just so blessed to have the opportunity to talk with you guys. It's a great day.
Now, Gary Bohannon announced he's transferring to BYU as a grad transfer. Obviously, spent the last 2 years at USF. And as I understand it, you had a chance to be on the coaching staff when he originally committed to USF. Now you're working in an off-the-field situation with the Bulls in their athletic department. But what can you tell Cougar fans about Gary, what he's going to bring to Utah?
Yeah, you know, so with the whole recruiting process, when it originally started, Gary had multiple options before he came to South Florida. And you know, I was able to build a really strong relationship with him because of my background, you know, playing quarterback, you know, at USF and also making it to the NFL. But it was really cool to see him come in and just kind of take ownership of the team. You know, this kid on his first couple of days on campus, you know, he was a senior. He had already graduated. He had no summer classes during the time that he, you know, committed to us. So he would work out in the summertime, and he would stay in the film room with the coaches in the evening time. And I was really shocked and surprised about his maturity, because even myself, you know, as a young college athlete, I didn't have the confidence or even just the mind to go sit in a room with 10 offensive-minded coaches and not feel intimidated and sit there, you know, hours on hours throughout the day, just learning the new offense, trying to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do it. And that's exactly what Gary has done ever since day one.
More than that, like, it sounds like he's just a really great guy, great kid. You know, what can you tell fans about his off the field presence?
Yeah. He's a lot more mature than most college kids, you know. And I call them kids, but these are young men.
I know.
And one thing one thing I really respect about it and him is, you know, just his maturity, you know, his presence. You know, everywhere he goes, he's always smiling. People are drawn to him. You know, obviously being at the quarterback position, you have to have that presence. And, you know, Gary stands about 6'2", 6'3", 220. And, you know, so and he's a physical specimen. But when he comes in with a smile on his face and you know, kind of commands the room without, you know, bringing too much attention, have a humbleness about him. I mean, it's a really cool thing to see and something I admire and respect in him.
Now, you mentioned he's 6'3", 220. He's got 1,000 career rushing yards in his career at this point. He's going to be, if I'm not mistaken, a seventh-year senior with BYU, but he's also got the ability to push the ball down the field. This is a kid who once upon a time led the Baylor Bears to a Big 12 title. He's got bona fide credentials to come in and be BYU's quarterback, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely, and I love how hard he has worked. You know, unfortunately, when he came to South Florida, you know, he got injured the same year that he transferred in. Our coaching staff was fired, and you know, all of last year, you know, I watched the kid go through so many different types of emotions, but continue to stay faithful and committed to warn his teammates, to Byron Brown, who's our starting quarterback now, who's, you know, got records and numbers, you know, across the charts, but still motivate him, still come to practice every day, and, you know, just continue to be a positive role model even without the ability of touching the field. And one thing I can definitely tell you is, you know, I know Andrew Luck, you know, is known for his shoulder injury that he sustained, and he never really came back from that on his throwing side. Gary did, you know, tear his labrum and rotator cuff on his throwing shoulder, but he rehabbed every day, and I've watched this kid go from, you know, being able to just, you know, lift his arm and throw a tennis ball to now he's throwing the ball back like he used to when he was at Baylor. So I'm really excited to see him you know, get his opportunity.
You're also very familiar with being a quarterback and going through injuries and rehab. You know, what were you telling Gary as he's trying to kind of get back and get right?
Yeah, you know, just to keep his head up, and that sounds simple, but it's extremely hard. I mean, in that position that you're in, you know, you're looking and always consistently thinking about the woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know, I should be playing. You know, what would happen if I was playing? And those are things that you can't really wrap your mind around. You have to stay faithful and committed to your daily process of getting better yourself. And then on the confidence side of things, you know, you have all these outside distractions of newspapers, media, you know, your friends, your family, you know, people who have all these opinions, you know, while you're the one that's really going through it. And, you know, I've experienced that. And I really, you know, try to give him as much guidance as I can or could. I also, you know, understand with the respect of giving someone space. So not, you know, being in his ear every day and not bothering him too much and allowing him to, you know, heal on his own. And that's what I've watched him do and mature, you know, because in life, things are going to happen. This, you know, last year he was injured. I'm sure something else will happen later on down his career. Maybe not necessarily injury, but no one's perfect. So whether it's an interception or a missed read, you know, those are all things that I had to go through. I know that he will continue to press and grow through. And just as people and as individuals anyway, it's something that we all should face and take with grace and learn from. And that's what I'm excited about with Gary. Brand new environment, excited to go to BYU. And I know that he's going to take advantage of it.
BJ Daniels joining us, former USF quarterback. Obviously, he spent time in the NFL and with the Salt Lake Stallions, and we'll talk about the Stallions here in a minute with you, BJ, but you kind of alluded to it, the fact that he's gone through this rehab, pretty extensive rehab for this shoulder surgery. You talked about a guy like Andrew Luck, who never really fully got back from his own shoulder surgery. What is your confidence level that Gary is 100% and will be able to be full go for the Cougars?
Yeah, I've watched him every day. You know, this, like I said, this kid went from barely being able to lift his arm, you know, to throwing the tennis ball, so now pushing the ball down the field, throwing any type of go route, post route, corner route. I mean, he's, you know, throwing it on the run. You know, so I was really, really impressed with what I've seen from him and his growth. You know, one thing about it, the kid has a pretty ball. You know, I hate to admit it because he always is in competition with me. But he's doing a really good job.
I would have to assume that never in a million years as a Florida guy you ever would have imagined you would have so many connections to Utah at this point. You know, one thing that I think we should bring up, since, you know, we're trading players back and forth, USF had a former Utah football player on their roster this past year, Andrew Mata'afa. You know, how did he do for you guys?
He did well. He did well. You know, I really like his passion. He's a strong-minded individual and kid and young man. And, you know, we really felt like we could use him. You know, one thing I enjoyed about him the most was his energy. You know, I watched him with a smile on his face every day. I don't know if it was the Florida sun. I have no idea what it was. But, you know, this kid never stopped smiling. And it was really definitely something pleasant to see as well.
Now, BJ, you're a guy who played in an era where the transfer portal wasn't necessarily a thing, NIL wasn't a thing. What are your thoughts on the state of college football right now?
Well, number one, I'm jealous. I wish I was getting paid.
Sure, I can understand that for sure.
You know, back then, you couldn't even, it was illegal to buy me a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Now these kids are getting cars and trucks and, you know, a whole bunch of stuff, but it's very interesting. You know, if I'm being completely honest, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is the Florida State situation. You know, one, I'm from Tallahassee, Florida, and I definitely felt like Florida State should have been in the college football playoff. But then, on the flip side of the coin, you know, you have the portals open during bowl season, mm-hmm. And in my personal opinion, I think that's terrible. You know, you're giving kids or these young men an opportunity to kind of just leave their leadership roles and positions that they have accumulated through spring football, through summer training camp, football season, and then you get to a bowl game where you have an opportunity to get a ring. It's a celebratory game of the year, finish on a strong note, and the portal's open, and you have kids jumping in left and right. You know, I really wish and hope that at some point in time, you know, we can put a cap on this and kind of, you know, open the portal after bowl season. You know, maybe kind of go back to, you know, the one-time transfer thing, because at this point, you know, I'm really looking at, you know, college athletics as professional. It's no longer amateur. You know, people are leaving to go get contracts. They're not necessarily going to get an education or going to, or even learning how, what it means to fight for a position and rate your role. Even myself, you know, I had an opportunity to play in college because of an injury. And had that injury not happened, I would have never played against Florida State my first game ever back home where I'm from and beaten them. But, you know, I had to learn how to go through the process. And I don't think that's helping us out, you know, with our young people as far as just how life is, you know, because once college is over, you know, life is not as easy, or you just can't leave your job and jump to another one as fast.
So, I mean, kind of getting into more of the professional aspect of your career, obviously you spent time in the NFL, just recently celebrated with the Seahawks the 10th anniversary of your Super Bowl win. And, of course, you know, you spent time here in Salt Lake with the Salt Lake Stallions. What do you remember from that time? It's been 5 years. We've known each other for 5 years now, which seems a little crazy to me.
Wow. Okay. man, you know, it's funny. You know, I went back home for Christmas to Tallahassee to visit my mom and dad. And my dad had me help him clean out some stuff in the back garage. And, you know, I picked up a Salt Lake City Stallions hat that was wrapped up in plastic. And I took that hat and brought it back to Tampa with me because it meant a lot to me. And I forgot that it was even, you know, where it was. But, you know, that was a great experience for me. You know, I would have never possibly have been to Salt Lake City for any reason prior to. And now, you know, I'm really thankful because of the connections, the people that I know there now, and just the love that I felt like I got from the city. And it's a great place to be. I mean, I would love to come back at some point in time. I never really thought I would be an outdoors guy or can handle the snow or the cold or anything like that. And now I'm just, you know, enjoying experiences with life. You know, and it's really cool to really think about what the AAF actually was, and how the USL, the USL is trying to emulate and mimic some of the things that that was started with us. And that's definitely something I do feel like, even with the fall of the regime, is something that's memorable and you know, something that will definitely continue to grow as far as memories in our minds and mean more and more the further and further we get away from it.
All right, BJ, we'll finish up with this kind of back where we started. BYU is scheduled to play at UCF, obviously hated rivals of USF, just up the road, the War on I-4. What are the chances you'll be in attendance when they play, the Cougars play the Knights down there in Orlando?
Well, you know, I call it Mickey Mouse Land, for those that don't know.
For good reason.
But, yeah, I mean, UCF is a it's an interesting place. you know, when your mother says, "Don't, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all." you know, it's a place where I really would love to see Gary come back to Florida. Mm-hmm. You know, it's down the street from Tampa, but have the opportunity to come and kind of just showcase his ability. And I think that's very vital. I even think about, you know, myself from the AAF, you know, in Salt Lake City being injured and then having the opportunity to go to the XFL and then prove myself and how much that meant to me. And I know Gary, you know, still has some unfinished business, not only his college career, but wants to show people, number one, he still has it. And number two, he can lead a football team and organization like he has already done. You know, so I'm excited for him to come down to Orlando. I'm definitely going to do my best to make the game. You know, you brought that to my attention. I didn't even know it, so I'm putting that on my calendar today.
Well, I remember they played UCF. I couldn't remember if it was home or away, and I just pulled it up, and they are playing on the road in Orlando. So it's an opportunity. It'd be fun.
That's awesome.
You know, there might be an opportunity. Utah goes and plays UCF next year, too. So maybe we can connect again. Before we let you go, you mentioned to me that you have a book coming out. pretty soon. Yeah. What's that all about, and what are you hoping to accomplish with it?
Yeah, so the name of the book is Beyond the Red Zone, and the whole idea behind that is the red zone is the shortest, you know, from the 20-yard line to the goal line. It's the shortest part of the field in terms of thinking about scoring touchdowns and scoring points. And defenses, you know, get tighter. The field is a little bit shorter. And one thing that's really interesting to me from a fan's perspective, most fans don't know what the red zone is. Most fans don't see the lines on TV. You know, they see the yellow first down. They see the black lineage or marker. But beyond the red zone basically is, you know, the idea of the things that I have experienced or football players go through that you can't see are the things behind the scenes. And it's all centered around mental health. So when you talk about, you know, for me and my story, you know, being too short or not good enough for opinions of others, you know, my experiences in college, breaking my ankle my college career, you know, getting drafted and still being, you know, being cut and having to bounce around the league. You know, no one talks about what that young man or woman is feeling in that moment. So, you know, I'm basically just sharing all those things, and I'm really, really excited and looking forward to, you know, having, you know, people read it. Marshawn Lynch has already, you know, done a foreword for my book and a quote about it. John Gruden is also another. You know, so I'm really excited to see how my platform can kind of continue to grow and how I can kind of help people go through things. Because the best thing about my job now at USF, I raise money for athletics, but it's not that. It's the fact that my door is open. Our student athletes come in. I'm able to tell them about things I've experienced, things I did right, things I did wrong. And they actually take heed to it. So now I think it's my job and opportunity to not only just help South Florida, but continue to impact the world and every other city that I've, you know, ever visited, been a player in, or any other city that supported me, like Salt Lake City as well.
Well, when that book does come out, we'd love to have you back on to talk more about it, all right?
All right.
All right. Appreciate it. BJ, appreciate you taking some time. Excited to see Gary doing his thing here at BYU. And as the season gets a little bit closer, probably have you back on as well to talk about just what you expect from him and your conversation with him, et cetera, all right?
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys for having me.
There you go. BJ Daniels, former USF quarterback, coach, now fundraising inside the USF athletic department. He's doing it all.
He's a very smart, capable person. And that was probably one of the first things that really struck me when I met him, when he came to Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Just very engaging, knows how to talk to people. And like I said, I just remember so vividly, one of the things that I would always tell him is, I just think you are capable of so much more than just being a football player. And now he's kind of out and he's proving that and realizing that. And so it's fun to see him, you know, come up with this stuff and have the impacts that he's having, both on and off the field.
Well, and the thing about it is he mentioned, in fact, he's got his door open. He have the athletes come in. He can speak to what the USF experience is mm-hmm. like. He's done that. Like, it happens at BYU in Utah. They've got former Cougars and Utes on staff. They come in. I'll say Gennaro Guilford, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, BYU's cornerbacks coach. Guy from South Central LA. Came to BYU. Got kicked out of school. Honor code issues, whatever.
Yeah.
And you know what he had the gall to do? Is to come back and finish his career as a Cougar. And by the way, has one of the single greatest plays in BYU Utah history, that interception in 01 to seal that win. That's Gennaro
okay.
Guilford.
Okay.
He can speak directly to, okay, I came to BYU not as a member of the LDS faith, which he is still not a member as far as I'm aware. And he can speak directly to, I was kicked out of this school. I came back. It's awesome to have people like that on staff. And the same thing at Utah. Guys like Lewis Powell, like, just, they know what it's like to have gone through the experience, and it's great for a university. And for BJ at USF, that's awesome.
Yeah. No, I mean, BJ has really, really impacted a lot of what USF has done, and they've kind of fallen off the path. It feels like they're maybe on the right track again after this year. We'll see how, you know, it kind of continues to go and grow. But they wouldn't be in the position they were in, they are in, if it was not for him. I mean, he really, really put them on the map. That's not an understatement. That's just facts.
Crazy, crazy times, but really cool to kind of get his perspective on it. And I was thinking, I'm like, who could we get on to talk about? And I immediately, Michelle, I texted you. I'm like, hey, you think BJ would hop on to talk about it? And happy to do it.
Yeah. So, Oh, he's always happy to come and chat. And I kind of want to, this will hopefully be a thing kind of through winter and spring. I want to, you know, get some of my former coworkers on that experience the Stallion experience and just talk about that. And we didn't talk a whole lot about that with him, but with his book coming up, maybe we can try that again a little bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so fun to have all those connections.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Like, and a lot of people, like, I remember the excitement around the Stallions, and I wish it would have worked out better than it did. But you know, when you have certain things happening at the ownership of the league level.
Yeah. Well, we'll maybe dive into some of that a little bit at some point.
It imperils a few things, but nonetheless. All right. We will come back on the other side. We'll get to 5 minutes of talking about some of the other topics we have not had a chance to touch on quite yet today. We got a lot of football. We still got to touch on college football playoff national championship, week 18 of the NFL season. A whole lot more to go. This is the Saturday Show on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Back to the Saturday Show here on 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. Sorry, I meant to ask you earlier, what's the inspiration today? Were you just going country just for fun? Okay, I just didn't know if you had like a certain theme we were chasing today.
No, I just missed playing country. No. So
You have two hosts that are very adverse to you playing country. I love Jake and Ben, but their music
taste. When I get a chance, I'm going to take it.
Yeah, but their music tastes
are
stuck in 1999, it feels like.
I get to play it on One Ticket Wednesdays when we give away country tickets. I'm like, yes.
And
yes.
Then Jake's
I
over
get
there
an
like,
excuse.
He's just not. Jake is not a country guy at all. Ben's a little more receptive to it.
He can appreciate the fact that I like it, but
I mean, that's a start, right?
It is like, a start. Cause trust me, Jake, if he had his way, he'd be like, don't ever play country on my show.
I probably would be on Jake's team, but I'm not quite as grumpy about it as Jake. But that would be my preference.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the college football realm, Michelle. We have a national championship game Monday night.
Sure do.
The Washington Huskies looking to cap off an undefeated season with a national championship. It would be just their second official national championship. They had a one in 1991 or 1990 with Don James, right in that realm.
Somewhere around there.
Now, there are Washington fans who will argue with you about a certain 1984 national championship.
Yeah.
But there's one team that has the trophy, and we all know where that resides. So, anyways. But let's talk a little bit about it. And obviously, Michigan on the other side. Michigan's got nine national championships. Whole lot of conjecture and stories about Jim Harbaugh's status. Even if they don't win this game, could he be making the leap back to the NFL? He has hired Don Yee, who is one of the bigger profile NFL agents out there, to represent him. So a lot of people think like, all right.
What does this mean?
Here comes a bidding war for a guy like that. But we'll see what happens. But what do you make of this game? What are you expecting?
I mean, it's really interesting, right? So you had that Michigan-Alabama game that ended up being a close, very more defensive type of game.
Yeah.
And then you had Washington, Texas, that was also a close game and felt a little bit more like an offensive shootout.
Sure, yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see. And both games featured special teams mishaps.
And came right down to the wire on both of them.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, we're looking at a team that's very strong on defense versus a team that's very strong on offense. And who's best is going to win out. I still like Washington in this. I think their defense is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think there is a confidence level right now with Michael Penix Jr. And those wide receivers that is just tough to beat.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing about it is I've watched both of these teams pretty extensively this season, and more particularly Washington. They've got this, I don't know, air of invincibility to them. Mm-hmm. And Kalen DeBoer, by the way, we played the promo earlier today. It comes from DJ and PK. We had Ian Furness on, who works up there in Seattle. And let me just put it this way. Ian Furness can't stand Washington. He is a Washington State Cougar through and through. He works in Seattle. He works at a radio station that broadcasts Washington Husky football games. But he was pretty effusive in his praise of Kalen DeBoer. He said, this guy does not change one bit on the sideline. It doesn't faze him.
Yeah.
He's got an incredible career record. He's like 104-19 as a head coach across multiple levels of football, starting at the NAIA level. He worked his way up. He's going to make a buttload of money here pretty quick, win or lose at this game. But there is something about this Washington team that, to me, that I'm like, I just don't see them losing. They're just, they've got this feeling of they're a team of destiny, I guess is the easiest way to say it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying for a while that they remind me so much of the 2008 Sugar Bowl team.
I can see that, yeah.
There were games where you kind of sat there and went, how could you let that team be that close? But, like, they just figured it out. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't always the prettiest effort. But they just always got it. They shut up and they got it done when it was crunch time. And I feel like that's been this Washington team. And yeah, to your point, I think, you know, that Utah football squad was absolutely a team of destiny. And I get that same vibe, that same feeling from this Washington team as well. And like I said, I just think that there's this aura of confidence that it starts with Michael Penix Jr., and if everybody, you know, kind of remembers, it was the same thing with Brian Johnson that year, and it just trickled down to everybody else, and they just won and got it done.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this. It's going to be interesting to see what plays out here. Now, I can't discount Michigan because they're undefeated in their own right, and they've got a dominant defense. Like, we're talking about the teams, the reputation, dominant defense for Michigan and dominant offense for Washington. Yeah. But I think the opposite units, we're talking the Michigan offense versus the Washington D, they're both good.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to undefeated.
Being just mediocre.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, these are two, I think, overall pretty well-balanced teams. Like I said, I think they have their clear strength, but that doesn't mean that they're quote-unquote weakness is that big of a weakness.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by this game. I thought the playoff semifinals delivered in a big way, just with a thrill factor. Like,
finally.
Yeah, you're right.
Good games.
We had a bunch of them that were awful for a while there. And by the way, if the 12-team playoff to me is going to be awesome, just
I agree.
You have home games of the first four. So we're talking the 5 through 12 seeds. They're a higher seed, so 5 through 8 host those games. You mentioned this last week. Like, the idea of either a BYU or Utah mid December having whoever
hosting one of those games, the atmosphere would be insane here.
Yep.
Those would be the hottest tickets in town. Like, everybody's going to want to be at those games. I think even a lot of people who grudgingly don't cheer for the other team are going to be seriously, seriously interested in what goes on there. I hope it happens. I hope someone gets it done and brings one of those here, because it would be incredible.
Yeah, it's going to be... It's going to be fun because it gives more teams a chance, obviously, but just the hope factor for more teams as well. Because let's be honest, we get into the month of November and usually looking at 7 to 8 teams, you're like, okay, here's the field with this 14 playoff. That's who, and there's 130 other teams. Now, let's also acknowledge the elephant in the room. There's about 60 teams who have a realistic chance any given year, the Power 5, soon to be Power 4, which is... still
trying to wrap head around that.
Is 69 teams that are officially, I think, are gonna have that designation. Okay, those are the ones who have the realistic chance, but they are going to give the two lanes, the Boise States, there will be a spot in the field for them. I for one would love to see some of those teams start to notch some upsets.
Yeah,
I'd like to see some BYU or Utah, like, against the Ohio States, the I don't know, the like these bigger names,
yeah,
beat them up.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's fun, right? Yeah. And kind of more in recent memory, we've seen Utah get to do, you know, some of that on bigger stages. Obviously, we just talked Sugar Bowl.
Yep.
Even though, I mean, that's been 15 years, which blows my mind. How has that been 15 years? But it is, you know, and then you look at that matchup with Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. I mean, Utah did not come out on top of that one, but they held their own. Mm-hmm. That was a great game. If you don't care who wins that game, you walk away going, dang, I wish every game played out that way because it was entertaining. You know, it wasn't boring. It wasn't a, oh, cool, so-and-so's blowing out Joe Blow Schmo. And,
correct.
You know, so, I mean, to have that on a more consistent basis and have it kind of mean a little bit more because mm-hmm. you're trying to come out on top and be a national champion. Oh, I just, the idea of that excites me. And again, the idea of being able to host a round of that mm-hmm.
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Here would be incredible. Just incredible. Love it. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, we'll see where it ultimately all pans out. But there's a chance, obviously, that exists now that never existed before. That's the fun part about it. But yeah, I'm hoping that Monday night delivers. And then we enter the long 9-month wait for college football to re-enter our lives.
Right.
I know. One of those things. We also have NFL football this weekend, week 18 of the regular season. Now, a lot of the top seeds, in particular the two top seeds, speaking of the Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers, they both clinched the number one seeds in their respective conferences. And there was actually a conversation earlier this week on social media, Michelle, that the NFL inevitably created a second bye week with week 18 in a way, because there are teams that have already clinched their spots, mm-hmm. speaking of the Niners, et cetera. But there's other teams that are playing for their lives playoff-wise as well. So there's kind of this intriguing. There is a bye week aspect to week 18, and then there's the do-or-die nature. And, for example, on that, the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo has to beat Miami tomorrow on Sunday Night Football. If they do, they can finish as high as the number two seed in the AFC. They lose, Michelle, they're out of the playoffs.
You know, I mean, that is why the NFL, though, is a much superior product
yeah.
to some of the you-know-what show yeah. That college football has become. If we're going to start veering more in that direction of college football being more pro-like, you know, we need some of these things set in place. And I mm-hmm. think that, you know, that kind of starts next year with the 12-team playoff. But, again, this is a case of every game matters. And you have teams that look like they are sitting pretty, but one misstep and they're done.
Yeah.
It adds to the excitement.
Well, and that's the thing about it is it's very intriguing because the winner of that game. So I'm talking about the Dolphins and the Bills. Winner takes the AFC East and the conference's number two overall seed. Miami gets in no matter what. They've clinched a playoff spot. Buffalo could miss the playoffs if it loses. The way that they lose to still get in, Michelle, this is what they have to have happen: Jaguars loss, Steelers loss, or a Texans and Colts tie. Doesn't seem likely for any for that scenario to play out. That's the intrigue factor yeah. about this. It's the do or die nature of it. Now, you have like the 49ers and the Rams are playing tomorrow. Now, the one storyline in that is Puka Nacua break the records. He's, I think, 4 receptions away and like 60 some odd yards away from setting all the NFL rookie wide receiver records for yards, receptions, etc.
I love that so much for him. I really do.
Now he does have Carson Wentz throwing him the football because they've put Matthew Stafford on the bench for this game. Wentz should be able to find Puka at least 4 times. I would hope.
I would hope so, too. But then again, I've seen where quarterbacks can't find wide receivers.
Yeah. The Niners are benching Brock Purdy for this game, so it'll be Sam Darnold versus Carson Wentz.
I didn't realize that's where Sam Darnold... Okay.
Darnold,
good to know.
Darnold has been Jets, Carolina Panthers, now San Francisco 49ers...
Good to know he's still alive and kicking.
Yeah, he's doing his thing, you know. We'll see what happens. Like, the interesting part will be, because he's a former top 3 pick, mm-hmm. obviously, by the New York Jets. Does Zach Wilson follow that similar path? Like, have to go to a lesser franchise after he gets cut loose, which seems inevitable at this point for Zach. And then he gets picked up by a contender like the 49ers, where they kind of, in a way, rehabilitate him. I know it sounds wrong, but that's what it is. Like, you have to go repair your image. There's a lot of people out there that are saying that Sam Darnold's time with San Francisco may get him a starting job at some point down the line.
You know, I will say, love him or hate him with Zach, in regards to Zach Wilson, he was done the biggest disservice by being the number two pick overall. And I say this kindly, he was not the number two pick. Like, he was always a guy that needed time to sit and learn. Yeah, he was not ready to take that on.
He needed to have an Alex Smith to what he did for Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. Exactly. Or, you know, a Jordan Love type of experience.
Or what Aaron Rodgers is supposed to have done for him.
Right. Sure. Right. Yeah. Like, I expecting him to be that level of quarterback was faulty from the start. Yeah. It was a terrible choice and decision for the Jets, for him. Mm-hmm. And now you're in a place where I think he has ability to do well in the NFL, but have you damaged the goods so bad that, like, we'll just never find out what his potential could have been in the NFL? Like,
there's a real possibility that's what it pans out to be, like that, and it's tough because you want to see guys from our area. Like, Zach's born and raised. He's Draper, born and bred, Corner Canyon, BYU. His family's got Utah ties. Like, his younger brother Isaac's going to Utah.
Right.
Like, you want to see guys like that have success. And we'll see. Like,
I mean, there's still a chance, right?
He's still young enough.
But the cards have to fall better for him than they did round one.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Absolutely no doubt about that. Because you're right. The first round was not so kind.
No.
Now the Jets, on the other hand. What a graveyard for quarterbacks to go to. We'll see if Aaron Rodgers can buck that trend, but I don't think he's
a shell of what he was, in my opinion.
It seems that way. Yeah. All right. Well, we will come back on the other side. We'll wrap things up. More to come. This is the Saturday Show, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Welcome back. Saturday Show here, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're doing well on this Saturday morning. It's New Year, crazy. It's 2024.
I
keep waking up every day, and I'm like, we post podcasts and whatnot as producers here, and I keep typing 2023. Sarah, are you doing the same thing I'm doing? Like,
yeah, the folders that I'm saving it in, all of them, I realized were dated 2023, and I was like, crap, I need to fix that.
Yeah. I have not, strangely, been having too tough of a time with that.
No. Good for you.
I do better with the even numbered years than I do the odd numbered years.
All right.
So I don't know why that is, but
I type 2023 at least 10 times a day on just audio files alone.
Yeah.
So it takes me about a month
to break
out of it. But then I spend the rest of the year, so this year will be 2024. We'll get to this time next year. I'm like, I'm still tapping 2024.
Well, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes.
Yeah, it is. But any New Year's resolutions you've got? Like, I wrote an article for KSLSports.com this week with some, like, predictions for the year to come. I already alluded to one of them. I think all four of these teams in hoops, I've done Weber, Utah State, Utah BYU, I expect to make March Madness. You anything you're expecting from teams like Utah you're covering this year?
You know, I'm really hoping that this men's team just makes another jump and breaks through and gets into the NCAA tournament, or if it's hyper competitive, mm-hmm. you know, the NIT, like I think they need to make some kind of tournament
this
year.
Be in the postseason, yeah.
You know, I think if they don't do that, that's unacceptable. And then, you know, the women, I expect to figure out and get it done and be part of postseason again. So I'm expecting some good things, I think, from both these teams. We'll continue to see how it goes. Obviously, injuries can change those expectations really quick.
They have. For the women's team, for example, Gianni Nikin's going down. That went from what I thought was a dark horse Final Four team to your point. Like, they should make the tournament now, But is there a ceiling now because of her being injured?
Yeah. I mean, it's just going to, I think, depend on how quickly everybody comes along and gels again in this kind of new role. And knock on wood, no one else joins Gianna, especially like an Alyssa Peely.
Sure.
I mean, if Alyssa's out along with G, like they have talent on that team, but you might as well mail it in. Like it's not happening. It just isn't. But, you know, that's just the impact and power that both of those players have for that team.
I'm going to say this, and I wrote it. You can go to KSLSports.com and read it. I'm expecting that the Utah Jazz, they are going to convey their pick to the Oklahoma City Thunder. What I mean by that is there was a trade that they did that if it's not in the top 10, the Jazz keep that pick. Like, if it's top 10, the Jazz keep the pick. It's part of the deal. I'm telling you, I think this Jazz team, last night aside, I think they've found some things. They're going to be in the mix there, and they're probably going to finish. They might still finish in the lottery.
Yeah.
But I think that pick is going to be conveyed to Oklahoma City. I've got that feeling they're going to be good enough that they're not going to finish in the top 10. Now, when it comes to the lottery, we've seen teams leap up in there, and we'll see. But I think this Jazz team is going to show a little something down the stretch here. We'll see. I could be dead wrong about that. But I wrote that in the, I think, here's the thing. I'm going to put this caveat on this that injuries, plain dumb luck, and just the universe could prove me wrong and have me wearing a lot of egg on my face when it comes. And I wrote stuff about Utah football, BYU football, Utah State football, RSL, Utah Royals. I had it all in there.
Oh my gosh. So. You like really went into
detail. It was fun.
You know, it sometimes is fun to prognosticate and then find out how wrong you were when it's all said and done.
And have fans yelling at me online. Come on, it's going to be great.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Like, this is, most of these predictions that we do are based off of if everything goes according to plan.
This is an ideal scenario.
It's too hard to, like, predict what could go wrong. Case in point, Utah football year. Like, I mean, who could have predicted that basically every starter would be out for one reason or another with an injury? Yeah. That is just unheard of. How does one go about predicting that? They don't.
No. It's going to be crazy. It is going to be crazy. So if you want to check that out, KSLSports.com, and we'll see how things play out. But we'll be back next week talking about all things whatever's happening, NFL playoffs, we'll have college football, we'll have a champion in college football. So stay tuned all week long here on the KSL Sports Zone. We'll be back next Saturday right here on the Saturday Show on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.